This is Navigate with ID Enang.
Good afternoon, Uncle ID.
Good afternoon, Ify. How
are you? Good afternoon. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm well. I'm still breathing. Friends, it's so much of a big pleasure. Great one, too, to be here again, to share with you, to learn from you, and also to thank you for listening in to this program, and by extension, thanking MTN for considering this a veritable vehicle to help us drive spirit, soul, and body. You know, there's a way you get some oomph or direction in something mm-hmm. you never thought about, and then all of a sudden, the light bulb just comes, boom. That's the kind of feedback I got in the last week and the last couple of days. The month of August is almost looking like, wow, it was a wow month. You know why? Because the subject of our contemplation was making life count. Anything that life touches will always live, because life is living. Whenever anything is not living, then it doesn't have life. So it's whether it's your career, whether it's your family, whether it's your neighborhood, whether it's your community, life in itself must go on in those spheres. And when anything does not appear to have life, and you perceive that it is dead, it means that it's of no consequence and does not have any value to you at that point in time. So I want to sincerely appreciate all of you. Thank you for your feedback in different forms across the platforms, on my Twitter handle at IDYENANG, on Facebook, on Instagram, etc., etc. I want to thank you. And particularly, I think the last couple of editions where I'd used the game of chess to analyze and talk about life seemed to have gone so well with a lot of people. I got a lot of folks say to me, I didn't know chess was that deep. I said, there are so many things you don't know. You know, and I've not even touched the surface with what, you know, we kind of shared. And I had a friend of mine call me to say, I was very shocked, actually. I didn't realize that he listens to the program. And he said, you know, you just gave me a clue on how to handle my boss in the office, because I realized now that the guy has been using me as a pawn on the chessboard. I said, the good news is that he's been using you. So now you know you are a potential officer or a queen. And I had another friend call me to say, you know what? Now I see that I'm a queen. And I said, yes, you see yourself as a queen because you're versatile. You can, you know, do so much. And yet, at the end of the day, you sometimes underestimate your capacity and capability. And all of this today, I think being the last episode in this month, I want to make it an open mic situation. I want you to look at the entire spectrum of what we shared in the month of August, and then should you have any questions or comments, here's the time to ask. A lot of you have you keep telling me you rather want to be quiet to listen. Now I want to hear from you. I also want you to comment. I want you to also give us that, make it an opportunity, you know, to provide some feedback. What can we do to make it better? Hey, you know why? The next time I'm stepping into this studio, we're getting into the last tranche called the Ember Months. And you know, once you hear September, once you hear Ba, the year is gone. Because the next time we'll be saying Happy New Year. So it's important that we go full throttle. And in going full throttle, we need to pull ourselves and look at what, you know, the couple of months we have ahead of us has to offer. From next week, I'll be stepping into a different terrain, because I'll be looking at a word that is in very short supply in our country. Excellence. So we'll be looking at igniting excellence, how we're going to build a culture of excellence, starting from you as an individual. So just don't go away. Get a friend, you know, whether you want to take it with my brother, phone a friend, call a friend, do whatever, you know, come over and let's talk about excellence. Let's learn about what it takes to have an excellent spirit, so that you will not take any kind of, you know, mediocrity will not be the order of the day. I can't stand mediocrity. Trust me, if you want to see a smaller version, 10% of Fanica Odemi. Just come with mediocrity. Just 10%. I'll give you my own dose. But I won't call you stupid. You know, I won't. But I'll just say to you, you know what? You need to look at yourself and give yourself a name. And you will be the one to name yourself. But that said, you know, I'm going to open the phone lines on this edition. But for those that are joining first time, I must also just tuned in and you just realize that I stumbled on this radio program. What is it all about? It's Navigate with Idea Nang. I have the privilege and grace, you know, by God to be able to come share matters that touch, not just the heart, that touch life, that help us to be the best we can be. Our goal is basically to try and raise the bar and make you a better person, make you, as an individual, a lot more useful to yourself, first and foremost, then to your family, to the community, then to the larger community, and of course, to the world at large. And so we try to, we move between the strands of personal development, professional development, and of course, nation building, national development. We must build our country. Ultimately, that's where we are heading. It's in the marketplace you find all kinds of characters and evils. There's buying and selling. There's a transaction. So here, what we do is to equip ourselves for that marketplace. So when you're going to transact, you have the right frame, right head, right shoulders, right body, right mind. And at the end, you walk away with what I call, yes, I win. Yes, you win. Not, yes, I win. No, you lose. No, that's not a good transaction, and it all starts from how we think. So we've been looking at making life count in the month, and we started by talking about living a legacy-filled life. And there I asked questions about posterity. I talked about posterity. I talked about us becoming generational thinkers, and we took that in very, very many dimensions and terms. And, of course, the tail end of the pipe was when we used the chess game analogy, and also, you know, shared some principles and opportunities that came from notes I found in my archives, books I read, like the one from Ray Dalio, Principles, also the chess one, were notes I took when I, many years ago, 2008, when I read Garry Kasparov's book, about life and chess imitating life. Good book. You need to buy it if you look for it. I don't know if it's, you know, it's something you can get off the shelf, but hey, Google, check Amazon, check somewhere. Just improve your own life and make life better. I also used certain examples to make it work. So today, I want to change the dial, and that dial is really opening the dials for you guys, and I'm going to engage Ify for once. One of the things that I've always talked about is the type of movies I watch, that I love movies. And then primarily, so those of you that listen to the program can speak primarily to two types of movies. One, Ify being the type of movies I list, just to be sure you listen. I've gotten Ify because right now she's doing... Yeah, she know the type of movies I listen to. This is a trap. Serious one.
What type of movies? I don't know what type of movies you watch.
You know, so she's very
distracted. Movies that involve chess.
Don't listen to her. I deliberately did that because I caught her unawares.
Yes.
But I talk about mafia-related movies. I talk about that a lot.
Yes.
And I also talked about war. But there's one I didn't mention. One of the movies I love a lot, and I watch a lot, and I'll tell you, that has to do with a heist. But I'm not asking you guys to go watch it. I'll tell you why I watch this one. So each of the movies I watch for a reason. So I'll tell you, for example, I can take The Godfather as an example. I'm old school, so you can decide to watch whichever one you want to watch. There are several lines on that. And then take another set within war. And then take, I mean, there are different, whether I want the Ocean series, it will give you a sense of what I'm talking about. But then each of these movies bring out lessons. one of the all-time great movies I've watched is Coach Carter. You know, Coach Carter, if you haven't, you need to go watch that movie. And there is another movie that you also need to try and look at now. If you're a salesman, if you're someone who does not in any way believe that you can make the best out of anything, especially with COVID, a lot of you and a lot of us are sitting with this mindset, saying to ourselves, oh, it's not going to happen. It won't happen. I'm sitting and waiting. I want COVID to pass. Later this evening, I'll be having conversations with one of my, you know, people and people I look up to a lot, Pastor Shola Adesue, you know, from 6 p.m. It will be on my handle, so you can go check in. And if you want to join us, we're going to have conversations, and the theme is around facts, figures, and faith. Many people look at facts and say, this is a fact. It's a fact that COVID came through. And there are figures to prove it. You know, there are figures to tell you people that have been infected, people that have gone, and people that are constantly going into ICs. But there's also a fact that a lot of people have made money. Many. Now, where do you sit? Who are the winners and who are the losers? You'll find that, you know, a lot of the winners either just stumbled on it or some took advantage of the occasion. Advantage being that they were at the right spot at the right time. Someone said, we need 10 face masks, and they saw a batch just next door and they collected them. Before those ones could even know news, they needed face masks. They bought off everything, and then they resold them at high pitch prices. They made a kill, supposedly. So there'll be figures in their account. But the reality is that how much faith do they have that is sustainable? How much faith do they have in God? So if I take each of these components, you'll see that, you know, we're coming on a certain drive and a certain alley. And many of us may not necessarily know what to do. So a movie like The Banker, that's a movie to watch. If you think you are, it's on Netflix, and I don't know where else you'll see it, but you guys have a way of watching these movies. And if he loves movies, so she can give you some. Have you watched The Banker?
I haven't. I'm definitely going to watch it.
I tell
and
you.
And it's a 2020 movie.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Now, there are lessons there, especially those of you that are sales inclined. Listen, friends, every one of us is a salesman or a saleswoman. We are selling something at every point in time. If you go in there, you'll see how a crop of people decided to take over a space and they converted it into modern day cash. It just took thinking differently. And that's exactly what I do when I watch movies. Now, if I ask you within, you know, there's a particular movie that was a heist. These guys went after a certain bank in Europe. Have you watched that movie? Where you had Olympia, you had the professor. Those are my hints.
Yes. Money Heist. Isn't that
Money Heist?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
Professor. Now, if you go through that particular movie, what lessons did you learn? Let me tell you why I watch such movies. I watch it paramountly to know how to pick my team. Over the years, as a manager, where I had to, you know, pick or recruit people, one of the things I learned was people are going to give you different faces. They will give you different attitudes. They would have seen everybody. Men at the early stages, interview, you'll come in, that's my CV. I stopped very early in my career to look at people's CVs. I don't.
Oh, wow.
I mean, even if as a chief executive, they bring someone to me and say, typically they'll bring maybe two and say, these are the last two they've seen. And they say, okay, ID, you know, we want you to see the last two guys. The team would have made the hiring manager would have made his choice or our choice. And all they just need from me is to give a nod or give my perspective. So you always have two people. I wanted to say two guys, but it will be misunderstood. And so when they walk into my office, the strangest of things I do, I don't bother about their CVs. I don't read CVs. I just let the person sit and we talk. By the time I have a chat with you for 60 minutes, 45 minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 15, I know the kind of person you are. Do you know where I get that from? From Heist. Those movies, when they are recruiting people, they know this guy may be, this guy will be the, is the best driver that will get us out of any hole. But he has a but. Each of those characters will have a but. But they will still hire them. Yeah. Professor knew that they all had. And think about it. Who doesn't have a but?
Exactly.
So there are buts in everybody. This guy may be the best driver, but you'll be probably a serious drunk.
Mm.
And so your duty as a leader or the manager is to ensure that you manage him on that day.
Mm.
And he must not take alcohol. That becomes your own cross that you have to carry.
Mm-hmm.
But you need the best out of this. So for me, it was very difficult for anybody to accuse me of discrimination. Because when you come to me, I mean, there was a particular panel at one point. There was a guy that came in and I saw the hiring manager say, no, this guy has Rasta. And he was the best of the pack. So I sat back just at the back of the... And I said, you know what? At the end, is that guy with Rasta that you don't like that I want? Why? Because he's different. He's going to bring a different color to the entire organization. So think about your company. You all want to be wearing wigs, but you don't realize your wig is another form of Rasta. But if another person comes with that hairdo, you automatically begin to cast him off and say, no, that guy must be a ruffian. No, you don't do that. But he will be the best man on the job. So I look at it and I really want to know, what are those things about you that people don't know? But I'm not going to ask you pointedly. I'll throw. Let me give you a classic example. Let me start from the base. I had a driver. I wanted to hire a driver some years back. And he came, a series of drivers. I'm sure my manager and my team will be laughing now when they hear this example. And a lot of you, let me tell you. So this guy came, a musician. I won't call his name, but one of the guys. I hired him later, but at the interview stage, he was sent to me. And when he came in, I was having a meeting with my manager when in the boardroom or something. And then when he came in, I gave him a seat. I said, sit down. And he had never gone through such a process. I said, tell me about yourself. And he said, my passion is in music. I'm in music, that. I do X, Y, Z. I'm a family man. I'm very passionate about Jesus. I'm very, you know, my ministry is very strong. And I said, so why do you want to be a driver? You have all of this. You have talent. So go. He said, well, I'm using this as a stepping stone. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not the ground. So I don't need anybody that is using me as a ground to go somewhere. Stone, you drop stone somewhere. But I started from there. And then because of all the sound bites he brought out, I said to him, do you have any question for me? He said, no. I said, how do you know the man you want to come and work for? He said, the person that sent me to you said so many nice things. I said, there are some things the person will not know. So, for example, do you know, what did I say to him? I gave him an example. I said, I used to have a driver when I was in Cadbury. I hired him then. His name is a three-letter word. I don't want to call him because everybody will laugh. If anybody in my family or my colleagues hear the name, okay, they will laugh. The guy joined me when I was at Cadbury. And then one day, we're going out. It was fun, though. Was this farting?
Oh, my God.
This driver of mine, I don't want to embarrass him because some may know.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, then my official car was a Mercedes. Huh?
Mm.
So I normally sit in front, so I don't sit at the back.
Mm.
So I noticed that every time I'm with him and he farts, this thing will hit me. So I went home and told my wife. I almost called his name. If my wife is listening, she will laugh. I said, this guy is always farting. Does he fart when he takes you? She said, no. Okay, because he will really take her. We had two drivers. She had hers. I had mine. So I said, I'll wait for this guy. You know, say I'll be bomb square. So I'm very serious. This thing, guys, I'm telling you. One day, overnight, I told my wife I'm taking beans. In the morning, I ate boiled egg. Then I now told him to come.
Oh,
we were about
gosh.
To leave for the office. I was from my house, you know, we're going to Cadbury, then Agidingbi. And we're going to, so I deliberately took the pathway there, there would be traffic. I drove. He was in front. Ah, he said, Oga, 11 Wamoto ni money, Wale in my Walini. He sat in front. And I sat, we drove. He said, ah, Oga, me comfortable money, wa comfortable joke, kilo and share, mbulunlo. Sorry, my apologies if you don't understand Yoruba, but
I understand it.
You understand a little bit iffy. Okay. You'll tell them. So we drove on and we got into traffic and then the urge came. And I released the first one. And you know, if you're familiar with the Mercedes and most cars, you can't I locked the screen. And the whole car was, and he wanted to, he couldn't talk, he couldn't do anything, he was there, sitting there. And I didn't say anything, I didn't look at his face. I could see him fidgeting and everything. So, and then we continued. Another time, I released my own vulva. By the time we got to the office in Cadbury, I released like 3 times. And he couldn't tell me, yeah, Oga. But I used to ask him. I'll say, what? Show, she TV. Only, Emiko, Lalai, Olo, Maje. I say, eh. And I dealt. So I now told him, I said, do you believe that I would fart for you if you fart for me? So that's what I told this new driver. He said, ah, well, you're human. I said, then he didn't know I was trying to find the type of person he is. I'd already seen. Then this was my question to him. If you wait, I said, how would you feel maybe when you're going home every day, you take me to a certain, maybe, you know, place, and there, and then when we are there, madam calls you and says, where are you? And you know in that house is my mistress that is there. And what would you tell madam? You say, hi, Oga. I don't know. But I'll just tell madam I'm with Oga. And madam says, where are you? Remember he said to me, is Jesus, is he shouldn't tell a lie.
Yes.
He shouldn't. So I really want to test and see whether the things you profess, mm-hmm. whether you leave it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll trust God for wisdom. I said, they are asking you a question, Oga. Where are you? It's a straight answer. I'm at Jolegba, I'm here. He didn't answer directly, and I said, okay, I have a politician for me as a driver. But I kept it. I kept it this way. I still gave him the job, but I said some things to him. I said, there are 2 things I pick out of you.
Hmm.
Number one, you're going to be one person that will be everywhere. Ah, my boss, my chairman. I said, I don't need those things. I said, secondly, you'll be a bit unstable.
Hmm.
So I can see because of X, Y, Z, but you'll still get the job. Go downstairs and they'll give you a letter of employment. But the rest is history and how he had to leave. It was not out of context of what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give you an opportunity. Why am I saying so? But all of that came simply from watching movies like Money Heist in the past, Ocean 11, etc., and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take most of this, there are lessons that are meant to come out of them. What lesson have you learned from The Godfather? What lesson have you learned from watching The Banker? What lesson have you learned from watching whatever movie? There must be something you pick out of it. Don't just sit there. Then apply it. Because there are principles in there that would have worked through that process. But most of us don't. We just think that life is... And that's why chess comes to play. And that's why I'm rounding... You know, the whole summary of it is, you find every one of us sitting at the office. We are protecting this man. It's called the king. Many leaders today, many MDs today, many kings today, they don't care. Most of them don't care about what's happening to the subjects because they feel that their job is to be protected. But what are they doing to protect other people? So if you are a pawn on a chessboard, if you are a knight, if you are a castle or rook, if that's your personality, if you're a bishop or you're a queen, what are you doing to make sure that life will count for you? Because most times, if you are a knight, you can be taken out. You can easily expose yourself because you are the only one that can take on. At the office, they know the knight is the only piece that can jump over every other piece. Every other piece goes by land. The knight goes by air. You know what I mean? It can jump over a piece. because it goes in a different direction called the L shape. And because of that L shape technology, it can touch several points at the same time. Are you that kind of person when it comes to sitting back in your office, sitting back in a family meeting, sitting back and looking at the things you need to achieve? Friends, we are getting into the Ember months. Your personality type, if you are a pawn and you are being abused and used, you don't realize that you are, that piece has ambition. That piece called the pawn has a lot of future in it. That's why I started by saying there's hope in our future and there's future in our hope. You need to protect it. You need to protect the very art of everything you have. And that way, one day, you'll become an officer. It's very easy when you're starting your career to say all manner of things about the directors, all manner of things about the senior managers. But one day, when you become the senior manager or director, you'll be worse. That's why many times when people are, you know, gunning down politicians, give them just half a day to show. Give them half a day. Give them a project and ask them to go champion or chair such projects. The devil you thought you knew outside was actually sitting beside you because either out of filthy lucre, either out of the lust for money, or the lust for things that are not of necessity to them, you see a human being that was not one before. I always say to my friends, if you truly want to know the nature of any man or woman you are in any form of relationship with, introduce money. Money will tell you the heart of the man you're working with. And that will tell you whether he's a bishop in a castle or whether the man is just another viper about to take you out simply because you do not understand the rudiments of the game. The Ember months are coming. It will take principled people. It will take the spirit of excellence. It will take discipline to make all of this come to life, friends. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back from the break, I'll take your messages. So this is what I'm going to do. It will be nice that you can just send us, send a WhatsApp to the WhatsApp line. Drop your WhatsApp messages, 0809-234-5913. That's the WhatsApp line. When we come back, I'm going to start from the WhatsApp messages, and then I open the phone lines, and I want to hear from you, and let's talk.
This is Navigate with ID.
Welcome back, my dear friends. I mean, on the break, Ify has just been engaging me because of what I said about like my...
The most hilarious story. No, but
seriously, Ify, what I say to you, I lie not. I'm telling you the truth. This gentleman, that was the last time he ever had to fart in the car. Why? Who gave you the right? So when I told this other guy, he thought I was joking. I said, do you believe that this old guy of yours say, I go feed mess for Isamu? He said, no, you're a big man. I said, I will. I'm telling you, this is what this man did. Did this. But seriously, you know, you don't know what he made me go through. I would sit in the car because I'll be winding down every time and say, I'll call his name. I say, Kilo Che, Osoni. He said, Emige, Oga. You know, like. And I endured. He kept doing it until that day. I now told my wife, gosh. I said, I'll give this guy a return match. I decided to drive so that I'll pin the windows. He won't have your emotion. Where will you go to? And I gave him 3 bombs before we got to Cadbury. I deliberately took the expressway, went back through Maryland, and he didn't know where we were going.
That is hilarious.
But I needed it to cook.
Oh my gosh.
This is real life. There are real things. So, we... Anyway, Ify, are you sure you're going to be able
to... This is coming from Joel saying, hi, Uncle Heidi. Thank you for your teachings. I've done so much this year, but I have a challenge consolidating and communicating in such a way that will help me achieve the desired appraisal objective.
What have you just said? I better read them again. That's highfalutin English. That's horrible.
He said... Thank you for your teachings. I've done so much this year, but I have a challenge consolidating. And communicating in a way that would help me achieve the desired appraisal objective.
Yeah. There's a caller. Maybe you will take that, then you'll try and understand and make me understand what the circumstances above my control. Yes. Good afternoon. You know, someone actually said it before I got in and said, Oga, the first person that will call you will be Ebuka. I say Ebuka calls because of Ife, not because of me. Ebuka, talk with you. And you're always in the market.
It's because of you.
Oh, yeah, I said, tell us what you want to say.
It's your side.
Uh-huh.
My side,
I will knock you off, my friend.
Okay, sir. My own thought, there's this movie I watched, Accident Man. The guy says something at the end of the movie. He said, live your life like you don't have tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because accidents might happen. So I make the decision that even if anything that happens, Oga will leave everything. Just holding on to things is just like killing yourself over something that you won't sustain you. But you, what are your principles, standards? Hold on to them. That's the thing. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Ebuka. Thank you. Okay, Ify, so the first note, what did you make of it? I'm serious. I'm not kidding.
So and he I'd said...
Like, he could...
Maybe he needs to maybe better communication skills, because he's saying that he has a challenge consolidating and communicating in such a way that will help him achieve the desired appraisal objective.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Lagos Talks. No. I think, okay.
Joe, do you want to break it down further for us?
Yeah, you should actually break it down a bit so that I can. But if I hear you, you see, before you, for a person to consolidate, there are two things. Let me take you back a bit because let me take you from this principle. That's his name, Joe. You need, for you to arrive at a point of decision making, you need to have something called analytical rigor. So you go through, which I believe you've done. After that rigor, you need to be able to frame it. But in framing it, you must be able to, in between the rigor and the framing, you must spot the issues. And I'll come back and tell you about spotting issues. The lines are buzzing here. I don't want the guys to feel otherwise. Lagos Talks. Okay, the lines have dropped. So here's what I'm talking about from a process standpoint. Your end game is... I want to make a decision. I want to take a decision. I want to do something. Now, that end game is called balanced judgment. So here you are. Start from the process of having rigor, analyzing everything you want. As you analyze, you are able to spot them. Your ability to spot them means you'll get to a place where you need to frame it. You have a problem at the point of framing. Because if you cannot frame those issues that have come through the analysis you've done, you cannot act on them. So now, what you need to do, look for someone who you can narrate scenes 1 and 2 to, and the person will help you, like a puzzle, put it all together, and you'll see the building come through. Once the building comes through, then you just walk through and walk in. That's it. So it'll be easy. Go share that dream or thought or everything with anybody that you think can help you bring it all together. It's framing. He has a challenge with framing. Lagos Talks.
Hello, Uncle Ajay.
Yes, Uncle. Who's calling?
Uncle Ajay, long time. This is Damilari.
How are you?
It's me.
Hi.
I've been extremely busy. Wow. I just opened my new factory.
It's when you invite us and come and do the opening. That's when we'll know. Go ahead.
You see, the last a person that sends the message, it's very obvious that the person doesn't have good communication skills. That's why we can't even understand the message he or she sends.
Yeah.
So the best thing is just big English. You simply English and
I'm telling you
understand me.
No, true.
I'm liking you.
Sir.
It's been long.
It's been long.
I just want to say hello.
Thanks, Dami.
If you didn't give me feedback, oh,
don't worry, the feedback is still coming. It was paused for a while.
Okay.
But it's coming.
All right.
Okay. Take care, Dami. Lagos Talks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
My name is Oluwaseun.
Oluwaseun, okay. How are you?
Very fine.
Okay, let's have you. Quickly.
And good afternoon, Missy.
Good afternoon.
Okay, mine is not a film. I've had several films, but recently it's Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, as if he's...
Yes. It's something that, whether you like it or not, there are strategies in everybody that's in that movie.
Yeah.
You like the movie, series. And if you just focus on one person, you might miss what other person is doing.
Yeah.
mean, as they're planning your own strategy, somebody is planning a counter strategy.
Have you watched Blacklist?
Ah, no.
Yeah, you need to go there.
Okay.
You need to go watch.
What are you
doing? Just go watch
Blacklist. Our life is not stressful.
Huh?
Okay. Sorry, our life is not just plain as we see it, because there are plenty of things that make up our life. Even the person I was talking about doing so much, is like someone that cooks several different foods together and dishing the people that are coming to him. This is everything I've done. It's not left for you to decide what you want to eat or what you don't want to eat.
Yeah.
A cook doesn't do that. A cook will tell you, I cooked 20 things for you, but I'm going to package it in these meals for you. This is the first course, the second course, the third course, the fourth course. That way you know how good I am.
Mm.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Okay.
This is coming from Hamed Babatunde saying, I don't have anything to say. So he said, good afternoon, Uncle Idi and Ify. I don't have anything to say for now, as I'm the type you mentioned at the start of the program to just listen. I would love to appreciate your work, and I look forward to meeting you in the nearest future. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. I look forward too. By the way, you know, by way of a soundbite, you know, this year we had the Business and Leadership Conference, BLC, happened in January. Be rest assured, I told you it to be an annual event. My goal, and trust in God helping me, is to build a new generation of business leaders. So between now and then, we're going to have another one in January. So keep listening. Just keep following on the right tracks. Next year, I mean, when we get into 2021, I'm really sitting in a space where there are just two major items that are sitting on my table. One is career, and the other is about business. So business owners and all of that. I don't know where you fall and what category, but the true masterclass is when you have people, you know, living the dream. And so the kind of friends and facilitators within my network. For example, I'm inching to bring a former Coca-Cola president, you know, to be on that particular panel. And he'll be looking at more of the executives. Because a lot of executives now, many of them don't even know what they'll do in 2021.
Mm.
Because they have no idea. They've never been in this type of situation before. And then the companies are sitting there and they're giving you big titles. You're an executive director. Come with the strategy. And the guy has never been anywhere to, you know, whether from Adam, he's never experienced anything like this. So how is he going to craft the strategies? That's what I'm saying. You see, movies, some people just dismiss movies.
Yeah.
And they don't understand that, hey, you know, Blacklist, for instance, this guy is always 10 times ahead. For you to catch and work with a guy like that, you need to be thinking 20, 50 times ahead. And that's exactly how it works. You know, the brain must calibrate different dimensions and come to a place where someone is just meeting you for the first time, he's done a scan. And by the time you're opening your mouth to say, he would have finished the sentence for you. So I look forward to meeting a lot of you. But one of the things that you're not going to find me do is hang around with lazy people. And my thought around laziness is when you cannot think. Because, you know, if you can't do, it's the easiest thing to do. It's like crossing a road and you see cars coming and you wait there and say, I'm waiting for someone to carry me. Nobody's going to carry you. But you must be able to understand the dynamics of that road to cross. So that's what we're doing with this. We have another.
This is from Solomon saying, Mr. ID, I'm always in class every Tuesday and Thursday. That fat issue, thanks for being real, sir. Looking forward to meeting you soon.
I hope you're not meeting me because of the fat. I'm not going to. Don't even go
this
there.
This is coming from Godfrey saying, nice. Good afternoon, Lagos Talks. I'm enjoying your program. Please, how do I know if I am a pawn type? So pawn.
Then go to anchor.fm/IDNang, listen to the past editions, and you'll find out who you are. I spent, I think, 3 episodes talking about it. So it's your turn to go listen, and then you decide. And if you run into a brick wall, come back. I will take it from there.
All right. This one is coming from Richard saying, I'm really enjoying the story that you told about farting driver.
Not only that one, I didn't
please,
remember.
Please, Uncle ID, I am into perfumery business and I'm getting prepared for the Ember period. I operate online, so what do I do to spice up my business so that at the end, I can have a memorable Christmas with my family?
Well, the first thing is that you're not in the perfume business, first and foremost, because everything is perfumed. It's called fragrance. You must be able to locate your sweet spot. When you take yourself in a commoditized space, the only thing that would work in your head is money, price. A commodity can only run if you have the volume. That's commoditization, and it's always judged by price. But when you step up, take that plate further, and then carve something for yourself, call it whatever you want. So don't say you're in a perfume business. I understand what you're saying. You're commoditizing it because there are all kinds of perfumes.
Mm.
So Sorobia, not perfume. They are natural herbs. If any, put it, concoct it and spray, perfume. Someone will tell you and use the same words. So you go to the market and say, I'm selling perfumes. They'll look at you and the price, and they'll look at it and say, okay, is this not like the smell of, or it's like Dan Maria just, you know, those some of those very strong spices from the north. Somebody will tell you, Dan Maria needs to be a singer from Joss. You have some people say, you're wearing, there are oils, they are here, there are young people now that are going into oils and all that. Sit, because it's every and all commerce game, what and how do you want to go? That's your question. So what you need to do, what's in your mind and what's in your heart? And this is the way I'll go about it. There's a concept called economic value added. Economic value added. Now, companies use that to ascertain a lot of things about how much of the assets, how much profit they're making over and above the assets they are deploying. So look at your network of friends. Look at your network, family, church, mosque, everything that has to do with professional, I don't know what you do for a living. I'm just saying, look at your network. And start from there and ask yourself, how many people here are persons of influence? So you want to test it and find out if really and truly your fragrance hits the nodes, the right kind of nodes. And you must understand that people have different nodes, whether it's going to be wood. A lot of people will like that wooden node. Some other people love something floral. So you must sit back, understand within this my network and ecosystem, what is the dominant node? Because many times a lot of you just go in and take anything and assume. You get there, you'll be bounced. It's like going to a party without an invitation. Consumers, end users need permission. Mm. There's something you call permission marketing. And the permission is by getting insights. So you go to them first and say to them, what type of node? And I tell you, 9 out of 10 times, consumers or end users have no idea of what they want.
Mm.
So you need to give them an array of choices. In the array of choices, you will now see them come, I think I like the first one. I think I like. If they knew, they would have told you. But they don't.
Mm.
So give them like 4 choices. And then you then group them and say, you realize that. And the young ladies or the young men, there will be clusters. You now see a cluster of floral cluster.
Mm-hmm.
You see a wooden cluster.
Mm-hmm.
Then that tells you that, and then you can now see another Arabian, that's the OUD, the oud cluster, a certain class of women, the older women.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say to yourself, look at the dynamic of the population. So how many customers will go for oud? So I need to produce minimum quantities here. I need to produce medium quantities here and huge quantities. That's how you start from your production, because you've gone to take permission via insights. Insights come from information you get from this group of people, call it a research, call it a survey. You garner on the insights, you go back, produce it, go back to them again and say to them, is this that thing you're looking for? They say, yeah, it's good. How much would you pay for it? And they say, again, many times when you ask an end user how much they'll pay, they have no idea of what the true price should be. Now, they can sit back and tell you, I'll pay 5 naira. Why? Because they are looking at it versus what they saw in Balogun Market. Mm. That's why I said don't commoditize it. Mm. But when you're going back to them, give them a full glare. For example, buy some unique, create some unique packaging and go put in the content and say, Ify and Co., from an FGD standpoint, focus group standpoint, how many of you, those clusters, put them in a focus group.
Okay.
And give me a sense. How much would you pay for those? They'll tell you 100 naira. Some will tell you 90 naira. Some will tell you 110 naira. So it tells you the band. What, there's a difference between the total willingness to pay and the ability to pay. You now need to bridge it.
Wow. Okay.
That's it. Wow. And you'll sell. See why you can't just sit down and say, I'm in the perfume business. Mm. You're not in any perfume business.
Wow.
Like you say, I'm in the food business. I look at them and say, if only they know.
This is coming from Yomi saying, we have a lot of organizations in public sector that don't recruit on merit, but connection. This process may sieve out valuable people and take in mediocres.
Well, I know that people talk about it. I know. But I'll tell you the honest truth. Entire career that I've had, I'm grateful to God, being married. I am meritocracy. And I talked about Singapore. MPH, Nigeria needs to adopt MPH. M stands for meritocracy, P stands for pragmatism, and H stands for honesty. Okay? But this thing about people saying, ah, until I know somebody, let's be frank. 75% of what you get comes from your network or referrals. So, it's there. It's a law that someone is going to introduce you to something. Again, like I always say, some people come to me and say, Uncle Idi, do you know anybody at so-and-so? I said, I don't. He said, but I heard your friend is the MD. I said, so what? So because he's MD, I should carry you there and say, if he's coming, enter. I said, the best I can do for you, go, put in an application, follow everybody. All I can do for you is to open the door, put a foot at the door. And that is helping you to drop the application or getting the contact to say, so-so and so, a mentee of mine wants to come in here. And that's, he or she may not have access, but I am the access to say, this is what the application. Now, they will call you if they need you. When they call you and they take you, what you do inside and how you get it done, that is what will determine whether you will survive. Mm. So there's a difference between IQ. So many of you make the mistake. Say, I'm very intelligent, IQ. You got it from your father or your mother. It's genetic. IQ opens the door, puts a foot in the door. But many of you, with that whole slam dunk, I'm the best thing that happened since sliced bread, young people, you get into the place, you think you are the smartest. You lose EQ. You don't have EQ. Emotional quotient, zero. Emotional intelligence does not exist. They will chuck you out. You know, you see how then they raise ball, then go raise and small, raise and small. Then go now fire, then go fire, you come up for there. You go and complain, it's because I'm not from this tribe. No. You got in through merit, but you are not pragmatic.
This is from Abel Kassi, the fat Nariwa Ogabos. And he said, sir, the pawn really got me thinking in the last episode.
Okay.
Joel saying, what do you look out for when reviewing your team's performance? I think he's restructured that question he asked.
Yeah, what do you look out for when you... the first thing I look out for in terms of... First of all, I step back, you know, and I say to myself, everyone that has a team or you have a mission, if you watch each of those types of movies, if it's the war, they need to go capture some of their guys, there's always an objective. And in that objective, they will tell you, like they wanted, the Americans wanted to carry, take out Saddam Hussein. There was an objective. And there was a record time to say, it must happen in X time. Now, how would you judge the success of it? They've said, we must be at the door by this time.
Exactly.
We must be in the room by this time. We must be out of that place by this time. When you're falling short of those time, call them milestones, then you know that something is about to happen. So you may come back as a team and say, we captured Saddam. I'm going to go back and say, guys, let's go back and follow through the lines and say to ourselves, did we get through this based on what we saw and what we did? So one thing that I do, I look at the results from what we set out to do. Yes, our motive was to capture him. We have captured him. The second thing is how we captured him. Many times, people don't go back to assess the how because they've gotten the results. So I take a lot more on the soft side because the soft side is really about behaviors. Mm-hmm. And that's what I look out more for than the hard stuff. So that's where I assess my team.
This is Miguel. So Miguel made a mistake. That radio station that you actually mentioned via WhatsApp is not our sister station. Okay. Go do your research. But he's saying that he heard Ebuka call that radio station. And he's also saying, Pierce, I love your show, Mr. ID. It's so inspiring and it's great.
Thank you.
This is coming from Alabi saying, good afternoon, Mr. ID and Ife. I really appreciate your program. Please, I want to know how to deal with a boss who is hard to please. I always want to tell you that I have started to play chess. I also want to tell you that I've started to play chess. Thanks for your mentorship.
Thank you. Listen, there's an adage in my language that says, I'll say it in my language. Because if he does not believe, I can speak my language.
Michelle,
yes. it says, Ida Ranyama, say every Christmas, get who you like. And that's it in Pidgin, huh?
Yes.
Very many times when people tell me, my boss, I don't know. I said, it's because you've not taken out time to understand your boss. Your boss, whether taxi or aircraft, your boss has certain things, that certain likes, certain dislikes, and with time. But many of us tend to, we see the boss from the lens of others, not from our own lenses. So we listen to gossip, and there's something called, you know, a myth. A myth is a self-fulfilling prophecy that someone says to you, this man likes shouting. And on that day, and every time that man comes, he'll be shouting. You say, this man is a shouter.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't tell you what they do to make that man shout. Here's what I'll say to you. And for those of you that want to probably go for interviews, that would be bosses, people are going to invite you for interviews, do some research. Go and find out what exactly makes your boss tick. Could be that your boss is one person that does relax a lot with movies. And then form some alliance by way of becoming his tribesman. It could be sports, could be football. Then form an alliance. Your boss loves football, his team is Manchester City, deliberately love Man U. Go deliberately love Manchester United. Just say everything you have to say. Oh, it's a red, blah, 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 whatever. And if your boss loves Chelsea, then make sure you go with Fulham. Make sure then you have something to talk about. And if your boss is one that loves to lounge, you know, get out in the evening, don't say I'm going for a prayer meeting. Nobody's stopping you from praying.
Mm-hmm.
But that day he calls you and says, hey, ID, let's go for a drink. You say, no, I have fellowship. The next time he calls you and says, ID, let's... You say, oh, sorry, we have a prayer meeting. The third time he calls you, because that's what a lot of Christians do. And he'll just look at you. But, you know, when you look at the icon called Jesus that you are professing to be following, he was a friend of sinners. So there can be contact without contamination.
Mm.
So I'll go into a club, I'll have the best of times. Does not mean I'm going to Johnny Walker myself. No. I will sit and I'll juice myself up. And when I feel, like I take a Coke and have a smile. That's all I do. And doesn't stop me from socializing. Because social capital is the bedrock of building an enterprise. And so, I'll see you guys on Tuesday. Ife, thanks for the time. I'll meet you guys on social media. Let's meet at IDYENANG. God bless you all. Thank you.
God bless you.
My
too.
Boss.